Thank you, Steve, for giving us the reading of the scripture there from Matthew chapter 5. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible up in the book of Matthew. We're going to be spending the majority of our time there this afternoon. There in Matthew chapter 5, we learn about Jesus going up on a mountain. We learn about him going up on a mountain, sitting down, and teaching his disciples. And as Jesus did that, one of the things he declared was, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Steve just read that passage there from Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 24. And when you think about those words of Jesus, when you think about when Jesus spoke those words in the first century, you could probably imagine how his hearers were shocked to hear about the required need of righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. For at this time, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were the ones who were regarded as the strict law keepers. However, Jesus said that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, the righteousness, that is the sense of doing right of the scribes and the Pharisees, did not find favor in the sight of Jesus. And he specifically pointed out in his teaching the need to have righteousness that exceeds. That is righteousness that exceeds in the sense of quality, that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Again, the scribes and the Pharisees, they possessed a merely form-keeping righteousness that trusted in self and exemplified itself in outward form. And this type of righteousness, it did not find favor in the sight of the Lord. And he therefore declared the need to have righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. So with that thought pressed upon our minds this afternoon, let's take just a few moments to call our attention to some characteristics of righteousness that exceeds. And I begin by suggesting to us that righteousness that exceeds is not given to fault finding. You see, sadly, there are some today who are much like the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day in the fact that they are good at seeing the fault in others, but not so good about seeing the fault in themselves. And we learn about that of the scribes and Pharisees. And one of the examples of this, of them being those who sought to find fault in others, is found there in Mark chapter 7. And there in Mark chapter 7 and verses 1 and 2, we see here that some of the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw some of Jesus' disciples eat bread with unwashed hands, what did they do? They found fault. They found fault. But we need to recognize that righteousness that exceeds, it will not be so quick to find fault in others. It will not be one who is given to fault finding. However, righteousness that exceeds will take the plank out of their own eye before they look at the speck in their brother's eye. There in Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus was still on the mountain teaching, notice what he said here beginning in verse number 3 in regard to this. There in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3, Jesus asked, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye?" Verse 4, he said, "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye'?" Those are good questions, aren't they? Those are good questions. And righteousness that exceeds, it will take the plank out of their own eye. Those who possess righteousness that exceeds will take the plank out of their own eye before they look at the speck in their brother's eye. Righteousness that exceeds will not be given to fault finding. Therefore, let us remember that. And let us not be one who is always looking to find fault in others, but let's always look for the good in others, knowing that righteousness that exceeds is not given to fault finding. I also suggest to us this afternoon in regard to righteousness that exceeds. Righteousness that exceeds does not seek a sign. You see, some of the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they were sign seekers. For as we learn there in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 38, some of them said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Sadly, there are still some today who are always looking for some kind of a sign. You probably know some like that, don't you? And instead of being people who look for some kind of a sign, we need to be a people who walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse number 7. And righteousness that exceeds will not seek a sign. Again, sadly, there are many like this today who are always looking for a sign. And because of this kind of attitude, many today, they overlook the value of the message of the cross. The Apostle Paul addresses this very thing there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 25. And we must never overlook the value of the message of the cross. And again, we must not be a people who walk by sight, but rather we need to walk by faith. I also suggest to us in regard to righteousness that exceeds. Righteousness that exceeds does not hold to the traditions of men. Just as the scribes and the Pharisees were guilty of laying aside the commandments of God and holding to the traditions of men, there are likewise many today who are guilty of this very thing. This very day, there are many who are guilty of laying aside the commandments of God and laying hold to the traditions of men. However, righteousness that exceeds, it will beware of holding to the traditions of men, just as Paul warned there in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. And righteousness that exceeds understands that it is God's commandments that matter the most, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse number 19. And righteousness that exceeds, it knows that keeping the commandments of God are not burdensome, and they will be, those who possess righteousness that exceeds will be those who keep the commandments of God. But I also suggest to us, in regard to righteousness that exceeds, righteousness that exceeds does not just offer lip service to the Lord. Again, the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day were guilty of doing that. And I want you to follow me there to Matthew chapter 15. And let's just begin reading here in Matthew 15, beginning in verse number 1. And again, as Jesus talks about the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees, talks about how they lay aside the commandments of God to hold to the traditions of men, he then begins to talk about how the prophet Isaiah prophesied well about them. And notice this with me. Let's just begin reading here in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 1. There it's recorded, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites." Now watch this. "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" You see, the words spoken of the scribes and the Pharisees, it sounded like that they had a true love for God. As Jesus pointed out, they draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips. But their hypocritical actions proved that their heart was far from him. And the real test of righteousness, it is whether or not we do what God says. It's not just saying, Lord, Lord, but rather it is doing what God says. You see, we learn about this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. Remember what Jesus said there? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Do you notice that? Jesus says, not everyone who says, but he who does. We also learn there in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46, Jesus asked a good question. Remember what Jesus asked there? He asked, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say to do? Think about that. And again, the real test of righteousness is not just declaring the Lord, not just saying, Lord, Lord, but rather it is doing what the Lord has said to do. And righteousness that exceeds will not just offer lip service to the Lord, but rather it will do all that the Lord has said to do. I also suggest to us, in regard to righteousness that exceeds, is righteousness that exceeds worships not in vain. You see, not only did Jesus declare that the scribes and the Pharisees of his day were a people who draw near to him with their mouth and honor him with their lips, but notice what he also said in verse 9. He says, and in vain they worship me, how? Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Simply put, as Jesus declared here, the worship of the scribes and the Pharisees was of no value. It was of no value. Why was it of no value? Because they were worshiping him as doctrines, the commandments of men. Likewise, there are many today who worship according to the doctrines, the commandments of men, and because of that, their worship is likewise in vain. It is simply of no value. And righteousness that exceeds, it will not worship according to the teaching, the doctrines, the commandments of men, but rather righteousness that exceeds will worship in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 and verse number 24. Knowing that, may we recognize that there is only one kind of worship that is of value. That is worshiping God according to the way Jesus instructed in John chapter 4. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. And any other kind of worship than that is in vain. But I also suggest to us, righteousness that exceeds not only says, but it also does. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they were good about saying, but when it came to doing, they were not so good. Notice that with me there in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And there in Matthew chapter 23, as Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, notice what he says here, beginning in verse 1. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Think about that. You see, simply put, these scribes and the Pharisees, they failed to even follow their own rules. They wanted to tell you what you needed to do, but they were guilty of binding these heavy burdens upon men, burdens that were hard to bear, and they themselves would not even make the smallest effort to remove them. And worse yet, to keep them. You see, again, these scribes and the Pharisees, they were good about saying, but not so good about doing. And righteousness that exceeds will not only say, but will also do. I also suggest to us that righteousness that exceeds does not do works to be seen by men. You see, the motive of the scribes and the Pharisees, it was to be seen by men. They wanted to draw attention to themselves. Notice that, picking up there in verse 5 of Matthew 23. What did Jesus say about these scribes and these Pharisees there in Matthew 23 and verse 5? He said, but all their works they do to what? Be seen by men. He goes on to say, they make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Again, these scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted to draw attention to themselves. And for by doing so, here in Matthew 23, Jesus said they made their phylacteries large and made the borders of their garments broad. We learn there in Matthew chapter 6 also that they did their charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. They prayed to be seen by men. And what did Jesus say about those? About those who did works to be seen by men, what did Jesus say about them? He said they have their reward. Remember that. Again, righteousness that exceeds does not do works to be seen by men, seeking the praise of men. But rather, righteousness that exceeds does works and all to please and to glorify God. And that's what we need to do. We need to do all that we do to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. We shouldn't be doing things to draw attention to ourselves, to be seen and praised by men, but to glorify God. Remember that and never forget, righteousness that exceeds does not do works to be seen by men. But also suggest to us, righteousness that exceeds, it is humble. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were not known as the humble kind. They were not known as the humble kind, but rather they were self-centered. They were all about themselves. And we learn about that picking up here in verse 6 of Matthew 23. When Jesus, continuing his teaching about the scribes and the Pharisees, how he said they love the best places at the feast and the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. You see, again, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were those who were self-centered. And we see that in the fact that they loved the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogues. They loved to be called by men, in Rabbi, Rabbi. They liked those greetings in the marketplaces. Simply put, these scribes and the Pharisees, they were pretty conceited, weren't they? They were pretty conceited. And there are many today who are likewise conceited, self-centered, puffed up with pride. To emphasize the pridefulness mentality of the Pharisees, I want to take us there to Luke chapter 18. Hold your finger there to Matthew 23 and turn over to Luke 18 for a moment. As good Bible students, you're very familiar with the context here in Luke 18. Jesus is speaking parables. And here in Luke 18, beginning in verse number 9, Jesus spoke a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. This parable is often referred to as the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And notice this parable, beginning in verse 10. Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and another a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now notice what Jesus said there in verse 14. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see the pridefulness mentality depicted there in that parable in regard to the Pharisees. You do, don't you? And again, righteousness that exceeds is not arrogant. It's not conceited. It's not puffed up with pride. But rather, it is humble. Therefore, may all of us humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. James chapter 4 and verse number 10. Knowing that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 5. And righteousness that exceeds will be humble. But I also suggest to us, righteousness that exceeds is clean within. You see, we learn, as Jesus said of the scribes and the Pharisees there in Matthew 23, that they were like whitewashed tombs in which appear beautiful outward, but inwardly they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Notice, as Jesus spoke of the scribes and the Pharisees there in verse number 27 of Matthew 23, He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Think about that. You see, simply put, Jesus is illustrating here that the scribes and the Pharisees, they appeared outwardly to be righteous, but indeed, inwardly, they were unclean. Again, there are some today who appear on the outside to be very righteous people, but indeed, on the inside, inwardly, they're unclean. They are like Jesus described the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 27 in Matthew 23. They appear beautiful outward, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. You see, righteousness that exceeds, it will not only appear outwardly to be righteous, but it will likewise be clean within. But I also suggest to us this afternoon, in regard to righteousness that exceeds, righteousness that exceeds is genuine. Again, the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they were hypocrites. They were pretenders. They were play actors. They were not genuine. And Jesus, He called them out for their hypocrisy, didn't He? He called them out for their hypocrisy. Have you ever counted how many times Jesus called the scribes and the Pharisees hypocrites in Matthew chapter 23? Have you ever counted how many times? Seven times. Seven times here in Matthew 23, Jesus calls out the scribes and the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. We learn about it in Matthew 23 and verse 13 and 14 and 15. Verse 23, 25, 27, and 29. Seven times Jesus referred to the scribes and the Pharisees as hypocrites, as pretenders, as those who were not genuine. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. And we need to be mindful of the fact that righteousness that exceeds, it will not be fake, but rather it will be genuine. It will be real. And it will not merely exemplify itself outwardly, but rather it will be pure and clean from within. May we all strive to be one who develops righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And may we all always seek to do the things that the Lord has said to do. Remembering what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say to do? Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. We plead with you to do that this very hour. For you have heard the Word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we need to continue to keep on keeping on. We need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight narrow path that leads to life. We plead with you to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness, and to get back on that straight narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if there would be one here this afternoon who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.